and all of us see this topic a little differently. You can open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians for right now, Ephesians. And that's where we will be eventually. We're going to start this topic tonight, and Lord willing, we're going to finish it up next time. I really admire the information that the men have given over the past several weeks. All of us have a family. Everybody's been born into a family. How it may be dysfunctional, it may not operate the way it ought to. You may not have the parents you think you should have, or you may not have the children you think you deserve, or whatever the case may be, but all of us come from a family. And every family, Satan is going to fight against, because he does not like the family, because the family is an institution created by God. And Satan doesn't like that. And so he's going to fight tooth and nail against your family. Already, just understand that he's going to fight against your family. I don't care what kind of family it is. I don't care how many are in the family. I don't care if they're 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't care if there's a bunch. Satan does not like the family, because he knows that if the family can operate effectively and efficiently, the family can change the world. Amen. That's just truth. He knows if he can get the right family and give them the wrong thing, that family can be a detriment to society just the same. And so we've got this topic, ordinary families overcoming extraordinary obstacles. And I want to ask you this question. In your opinion, and this is your opinion, so there is no wrong answer. In your opinion, because I got mine too. In your opinion, what is the most extraordinary obstacle for families to overcome? In your opinion, because the topic is ordinary families overcoming extraordinary obstacles. You and I are ordinary people. We have ordinary families, but there are placed strategically in our pathway extraordinary obstacles, and we have to overcome them to be successful. We have to. So in your opinion, what is the most extraordinary obstacle for families to overcome? Give me some input. Misty? That's her son. Amen. Communication skills. Amen. 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 Braswell? Financial burdens. Amen. Andrea? Outside influences of other people. Yes, that is true. Brother Hall? Living for the future. So like living for now instead of living for the future? Okay, so preparation. Yeah, James? Pornography is a big, big one to overcome. Yes. So unexpected medical emergencies. Amen. Amen. And all these are good. Bashar? Families have to mend with one another and have some family squabbles and, you know, Hatfields and McCoys. Hopefully not that bad. Amen. But yes, somebody else. Had, yeah. Right.
I would say understanding
our. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? What would you say? Yes. Amen. Amen. Say it, mean to do it. Amen. Yeah, Kathy, and we get you, honey.
I think alcoholism, sometimes living with alcoholism.
Amen.
Sometimes that creates
something
too.
Amen. That definitely can be an extraordinary obstacle to overcome, Ms. Dawson. Accepting one another as individuals. Amen. Amen. That is true. By the way, is there somebody that will be right 100% of the time?
No.
So that means all of us are faulty. So we should be a little bit more tolerant, shouldn't we? Yes, Andrew?
I was going to say,
Infidelity, amen. That's another one. Anybody else? Now, these are all good. Now, some of you have kind of stepped on where I'm going with my opinion, because I have the charge of bringing the message tonight. But anybody else? Yes. How right you are. Amen. Yes, James? Mismanagement of income. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true. That's why we got to raise the debt ceiling of the nation right now. Amen. Anybody else? These are all good. And what I'm about to say, you will see where I'm going with this, and I think it will make sense to you once I kind of develop it. And we won't finish it tonight, but we're going to get started on it at least tonight. Anybody else? Yes. Demonic influences, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, most definitely. By the way, yes. Right, right. Amen. And that is very, very true. Ms. Dawson?
Probably another major obstacle, especially in Christianity, is taking
a stand alone. Amen. Everybody wants to stand with a group, but nobody wants to stand alone by themselves. And by the way, you and God's majority every time. You and God's majority every time. And if you stand for God, you and God's a majority every time. And you have to always remember that. Me and God's always a majority. I don't care who's on the opposite side. Amen. Turn to your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'm going to tell you what my belief, in my opinion, is one of the most extraordinary obstacles to overcome as ordinary families. Ephesians 5. And we're going to read several verses here. And then we're going to talk about those verses. And several of you have talked about the key point that I believe is one of the greatest obstacles. Chapter 5, verse 21 and 22 say, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So that means everybody should really place themselves under God's authority and jurisdiction. Verse 22 says, now, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then we're going to skip down to verse number 25. These are verses that we've heard before. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then skip down to chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What do I see as one of the most difficult obstacles to overcome as ordinary families? What is that extraordinary obstacle? I believe, and Pastor White, Ms. White kind of hinted to that, and Misty, is understanding. Understanding. You say, preacher, what do you mean by understanding? Understanding is different from knowledge. They're different. They're very different. Let's pray, and I want to talk about this for a minute. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to tackle this subject on Wednesday nights as we teach your word. Lord, these are practical things that can apply to every ordinary family out there. And we're all just ordinary people with an extraordinary God. And help us, Lord, to really see the truth of the matter as to what we're talking about tonight and overcome these extraordinary obstacles, even as ordinary families, because you are an extraordinary God and you can overcome them through us. And so, Lord, we're looking for a blessing tonight. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My opinion, I say understanding. Why do I say that? I believe understanding is threefold, and we'll get to more of the threefoldness in a minute. But knowledge is different from understanding, okay? Let's get that down. Just because you know something doesn't mean you understand it. How many of y'all know that electricity runs through the light switch to go and do the lights? But most of you don't know the gravity of electricity. You just know I flip the switch and boom, lights come on. Hey, hey, boy, look at that. Whoa. And some of you, your knowledge has been fueled and encouraged by understanding. You put your hand on a light switch with no covering and you got a little jolt knocked you on your bump. Your understanding became a little bit greater. You appreciate electricity a little bit more. Not only do you know electricity now, you understand a little bit more about it. I worked with my dad quite a bit when we were coming up. And I remember getting a jolt on several times when I didn't have rubber at the end of the tool that I should have had rubber at the end of. And I got a little jolt. And I said, Dad, what's that? He said, it's called electricity. You better be glad you didn't get a bigger dose of it. And get the right tools out. Amen. And man, I'll tell you what's the truth. Knowledge is not the same as understanding. And when you look at knowledge and understanding, knowledge is the know-how. Understanding is the why and the comprehension. Children oftentimes are told to obey and they know what obedience is. They don't understand why. They don't understand what's behind the obedience oftentimes. And so understanding is this. This is the definition. The knowledge and ability to judge a particular situation or subject or comprehension of how something works or functions. That's understanding. The knowledge and ability to judge a particular situation or subject or comprehension of how something works or functions. And I submit to you that most folks don't understand how a family's supposed to work. Amen. We have our preconceived notions based upon how we were raised, but that doesn't mean the way you raised was right. We just admitted that everybody has error. Then that means the way I was raised had some bit of error in it. Amen. Now, if I get raised and have a family and raise my family the same way I was raised, guess what? Error. And if my children do the same thing, guess what? Error. And error doesn't get better. It always gets what? It always gets worse. So some way, somehow, something's got to intervene, interject, and put the air straight. I submit to you the word of God. We saw three key verses about the wife, about the husband, and about the children. And I believe the average, ordinary family doesn't understand the workings of that. Therefore, they have extraordinary difficulty overcoming obstacles. Understanding in relation to predicaments of the dictionary says it this way. Understanding in relation to predicament requires comprehension. Do we really comprehend what's going on with our wife, our husband, our children? It requires a grasp, a perception, a mastery, a discernment, or an awareness. Do we really comprehend our wife, our husband, our children, the predicament that they're in? Because oftentimes, Miss Andrea brought up infidelity. Amen. If we really understood that, it doesn't just happen. There's more to the picture than that. Amen. James brought up pornography. There's more than just pornography. There's something more there. Understanding in relation to predicaments. But then understanding in relation to people. It says this about that. It requires compassion. By the way, not everybody has compassion. It requires sensitivity. You can't just roughshod over people. People have feelings. And if you don't understand that people have feelings, you're going to be looking really bad. It requires not just compassion, sensitivity, consideration, tenderness, kindness. Why? Nobody wants to be rudely treated. Nobody wants to be brushed off. You go into the grocery store and do some shopping, and you ask somebody a question, they brush you off. You get mad. You want to go talk to the manager, let alone they don't have the thing on the shelf anyway. Amen. It requires compassion, sensitivity, consideration, tenderness, kindness, thoughtfulness, patience. Dealing with people requires patience. How many of y'all work? If you got coworkers, you know it requires patience. They don't always do things the way they ought to. But then again, neither do we. So understanding in relation to people, patience has to be there, tolerance, forbearance, leniency. You want somebody to choke you up as soon as you mess up? Then I have to understand how to deal with people, husband, wife, children. Approachableness. You know, some folks just are not approachable. They have that look. What do you want? What are you coming for? And that's just the dog they're talking to. Let alone the people. The kids are kind of like, Joshua, bless his heart, he came to ask me if he could have some sweets the other day. And he came to me because he didn't want to go to the nutritional specialist. He knows that I have a weakness for sweets as well. So he said, can I have such and such? I said, you need to go talk to nutritional sweeter, a nutritional dietitian of the house. And he said, I knew he was going to say that. I know she's not going to agree with me. Did she agree with you?
Yeah.
She did. Oh, my soul. That's because we got company. But he came to me first thinking, I know, go to the softy on sweets. Amen. Dad'll say yes. I said, no, go to the nutritional counselor. You know, if she says yes, then bring me one too. Amen. All right. Understanding relation to predicaments requires comprehension, grasp, perception, mastery, discernment, awareness. Understanding relation to people requires compassion, sensitivity, consideration, tenderness, kindness, thoughtfulness, patience. And this is in the family. Another one they said is supportiveness, reassurance. By the way, children need to be reassured. Me and Bashar were just talking about that last night. My mother always told me, boy, I love you. She said, I love you. I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. I love you. Don't you ever doubt that. Don't you ever second guess that. Don't you ever forget that. She gave me reassurance. I told Bashar, I was like, look, I pretty much conquered the world with mama in my back. Amen. Hey, mama, you get them. Amen. I knew she loved me. There was never a question. And I believe sometimes we don't understand the power of that. How it empowers a child. How it empowers a husband. How it empowers a wife. That reassurance. I'm not going to leave you. I love you. I said understanding is the extraordinary obstacle and the ordinary families have to overcome, but I also mentioned it's a threefold issue. First, I've got to understand my role in the family with this. I've got to understand my role in the family. If I'm a husband, I've got to understand what that involves. If I'm a wife, I've got to understand what that involves. If I'm a child, I've got to understand what that involves. If I'm going to overcome obstacles that are extraordinarily meant to defeat me, collectively as a family, we can overcome. But by myself, if my mother never told me she loved me when some of those hard times came, guess what? I probably would have went to the wrong people. And they'd have gave me the wrong counsel, and I wouldn't be standing right here right now. Amen. But I knew she loved me and she reassured me. So threefold, first understanding my role in the family. Second of all, understanding how to operate in my role in my family, regardless of others. Mrs. Dawson mentioned standing alone. This is what a lot of people say. If my husband doesn't love me, then I'm not going to submit to him. Wrong answer. God never put conditions and said, if your husband loves you, then you need to submit. He never put that down. He never said, if your parents are always right 100% of the time, then you obey them. If not, then you can pick and choose. He never said that. And I believe the understanding oftentimes in our role and how to operate in my role, regardless of what others do, sinks the ship of the family. Because then the wife says, well, he doesn't love me. And so I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. The children say, well, mom and dad, it's not fair. So I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. The husband says, well, my wife is not submissive, and so I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Folks, that's never right. Two wrongs don't make a right. They don't. So first, I've got to understand my role in the family. Second of all, understand how to operate in my role in the family. Then third, remembering, and this is probably the key of it all, remembering that we are all sinners in our role, and we're not perfect. Therefore, we should not expect perfection from others. Amen. We want everybody else to be perfect, and guess what? We're not. But we want them to toe the line, but we ourselves aren't perfect. And we've got to remember, at the end of the day, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner at best. And I'm going to have faults. And so it's threefold. I've got to understand my role in the family, understand how to operate in my role in the family, and then remember that we are all sinners in our role and we're not perfect, expecting perfection from others. And so why such an extraordinary obstacle for ordinary families to overcome? Because I believe wives fail to understand biblical submission, as in Ephesians 5:22. I believe husbands fail to understand biblical love, as in Ephesians 5:25. And I believe children fail to understand biblical obedience, as in Ephesians 6:1. We all then fail to understand we're all sinners and we expect better from others than we expect from ourselves. And we hold them accountable oftentimes to do something that we ourselves can't do. We should be some of the most forgiving people because we're sinners. We really should be. We should be some of the kindest folks because God has been kind to us. We should be some of the most merciful people because God's been merciful to us. We really should be. And you know where you see the least amount of that oftentimes? In the family. Sibling rivalry, parents against children, children against parents, mom and dad's butting heads against, and that should never be. And that's why I think understanding is one of the key problems to overcoming extraordinary obstacles in the family, because I don't understand. So let's talk about something here just for about just a few minutes, and then we're going to quit, and we'll finish the rest of it next week. So in my opinion, one of the greatest extraordinary obstacles the ordinary family has to overcome is understanding, and its threefold capacity. What is the key to all this? Understand what my biblical role is, number one, and then submit to the Holy Spirit's power to operate in my specific role. And then when I'm not operating in my role correctly, follow the grace of God for his forgiveness and repent. Amen. And then recognize at the end of the day, not only am I still a sinner, everybody else is too. So why am I judging them so unfairly when I really should not be? So let's look at this Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 real quick. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And notice the Bible puts the wife first, why she is to be in submission. It goes in order here. And again, this particular subject here has been in the craw of women since time began, I believe. Yeah. Well, I'm supposed to be a doormat for you. God never said you was a doormat. Me obey him? Yeah. Well, he's not worth obeying. Did God ask you that? Children, did God ask you whether your parents were worth obeying? Hey, did God say, husbands, are your wife worth loving? She burnt the toast last week. How can you love somebody like that? Well, praise God, she didn't burn the oatmeal. She didn't burn the milk. She didn't burn the cookies. Can't burn the ice cream. Amen. And she deliberately could. If she was malicious, I guess there's a way to burn ice cream too. Amen. I guess she could. Amen. I believe wives' extraordinary obstacle is they often fail to understand biblical submission. Wives submit. Notice that verse there. Wives submit unto your who? Own husbands. Not the husband across the street. Not the husband on the soap opera. Not the husband at the ball game. Not the husband at the job. Your own husband. You married him, so you need to own up to this. Amen. Hey, why? Wives can be vulnerable at times. Amen. Hey, let's go all the way back to the beginning. Adam and Eve, was she not vulnerable before the serpent? Yes. Was Eve? No, the Bible says that he willfully disobeyed God with a high hand, knowing it was wrong. He did it. The Bible says Eve was deceived. She was totally bamboozled. Exactly. So, the Bible says here, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. How? As unto the Lord. The same way you would submit to your God, the God of heaven, the same way you ought to submit to your husband. Well, he's not God in heaven. Never said he was. Said as unto the same way you would submit to God. Why? He has been placed there as an authority figure over you for your protection. Amen. I don't like that. I can protect myself all by myself. Hey, I remember when I married my wife at first, she was all about women's lib. I tried to open her car door. I can open her own car door. I tried to open up her door. I'm trying to have some chivalry. Amen. Trying to open the door. I can open my own door. I'm trying to get the chair. I can get my own chair. Well, amen. Then I got saved. She said, ain't you supposed to be opening my door? I tried that. You kicking me in my bump, basically. Amen. And she said, no, you can open my door now. You can do these things for me now. She learned, amen. Hey, what is the definition of submission? Because we got to understand what this is. The definition of submission, here it is. Willfully placing oneself under authority to another. That's all it is. The moment my wife said, I do, guess what she did? She willfully placed herself under my authority. If she was not willing to do that, she never should have said, I do. Amen. And I think the average wife doesn't understand the gravity of what God said when he put the man there as that protector, as that lover, as that guide, as that counselor, as the one who should really do the job. Now, I grant, ladies, I feel your pain. There are a lot of deadbeat husbands out there. I understand that. But that does not negate what God said. Does not negate what he said. You better get on your knees and pray. My wife, I catch her. I told y'all before, I catch her praying. I'd be like checking myself. Lord, what'd I do? And she in there praying, oh, the Lord, and my husband. Oh, no. She's talking about me. What did I do? I'm trying to get the Lord. Would I show me what I did? She in there praying. I heard my name. Hey, the power of prayer can go where you can't go and do what you can't do. And say what you can't say and get done what you can't get done. Amen. I'm just saying. Willfully placing oneself under authority to another, to subordinate oneself, to be under obedience, to put under, to arrange under voluntarily, to yield to. And I believe oftentimes wives don't understand what that involves when God says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now granted, maybe you were ignorant when you got married, but we can't claim ignorance no more because I know. And the best bet we can do is say, okay, Lord, that's my biblical role. It's submission. I have to understand my role in the family. I've got to understand how to operate in my role in the family. And then I've got to remember that I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect in the family. And so I need to press forward. And regardless of what my husband does, I still need to submit to him. Now, I'm not talking about anything wrong. He can't tell you to go rob a bank. That ain't right. Bonnie and Clyde. And God ain't, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about that which is right by God. Well, my wife told me to Bonnie. By the way, Abraham did that with Sarah. You see where he ended up with that. Told her to lie. Amen. Now, he was still called a friend of God. But it still, he did that which was wrong. And it got him in trouble. It almost got her taken away. And so I'm just saying here, we've got to understand some of these things, folks. We're going to stop right there. So why we got to stop with the wife? You pick on the husband a little bit. We don't have enough time for the husband tonight. We'll pick up with the husband next time. Amen. But let this sink in. I believe that the obstacle that is one of the most extraordinary obstacles for every family is as an ordinary family trying to overcome because I don't understand. I don't understand my wife. I don't understand my husband. I don't understand my children. My children don't understand me. They don't understand my role. I don't understand their role. And as a result, these obstacles that we should be able to overcome as ordinary families have become extraordinary obstacles that have just bloomed and blossomed out of proportion to be unsurmountable in our opinion. And we just have to remember, God put the word of God there for a reason. To look at it, to learn from it, and don't operate outside of your jurisdiction. Pass what I can go on the base right now and flash my ID and say, I'm General Dawson. Guess what that's going to get me?
Nowhere.
It won't even get me put in jail. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to say, that says Sergeant Dawson there. That says nothing about general, so go away. What happened? Forgetting my role. Forgetting my place. What am I saying here? We have to understand that one of the greatest obstacles that you and I are going to face is everything of what we said tonight is the contributing factor to that. But I've got to understand who I am and where I am and what God's called me to do. And if I'm a husband, I've got to play the role of the husband and love my wife. If I'm a wife, I've got to play the role of the wife and I'll submit myself to my husband. I'm not saying that he is the greatest and the best and the leanest and the meanest, but I'm just saying that's God's direction for me, and I need to pray for him. If my wife is not going to be lovely, I still need to love her. Amen. She's hard to live with. She changed her mind too frequently. She's always this and always that. You married her. And I think you said something like for better or for worse, in good times and bad times, in sickness and in health, till death do we part, you both alive. Then you better stick it out. Well, she doesn't seem too lovely. Oh, like we're always lovely to God. We're just the epitome of sainthood. Amen. Look in the dictionary. Good Christian. That's me. I don't think our pictures will be there. I know mine won't be there. I know me. Mine won't be there. Mine'll be on a bad egg list. Amen.
You need to toast the burnt toast.
Toast the burnt toast. Amen. So let me leave you with this thought. Do you know do you understand your role? Because I know we know our roles. I'm not talking about knowing. We know the Bible says husbands love your wife. We know it says wives submit. We know children ought to. We know that. But do we understand it? Do we understand it? Do we understand the compassion that's required, the sensitivity, the consideration, the tenderness, the kindness, the thoughtful patience, the tolerance, the forbearing, the leniency, the approachableness, the supportiveness? Do we understand that aspect? And then understanding the predicaments that we find ourselves in as a family. Do we understand it requires comprehension, grasp, perception, mastery, discernment, awareness of understanding? Otherwise, I'm going to have the wrong enemy. I'm going to blame a wife. I'm going to blame a husband. I'm going to blame a child. I'm going to blame a parent that I have no business blaming because the enemy is still unseen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. And Satan would love nothing more than a submarine and sabotage your family. Why? The family is the backbone of this nation. We're going to come and go as the families are. You can blame the school systems all you want to, but at the end of the day, they're your children and they're my children. And it's up to us to teach them to obey. Well, the school system, they definitely ain't going to teach them to obey. They're going to let them get away whatever they're going to get away with and turn them loose back to you. And then they're going to come back monsters. And you're going to say, you turned my kid into a monster. Well, then you take that Jekyll Hyde and turn him around. Amen. Hey, do we have the word of God? Yes, we do. Do we have the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. Do we have the promises of God? Yes, we do. So take the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and see what God wants to do. By the way, none of this can be done without the help of God and the Holy Spirit of God and the word of God. None of it can be done. Folks, remember, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. We understand that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we have claimed the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we need to walk in that spirit and understand what God would have us to do and do it. Don't look at what somebody else is not doing. Look at what you and I should be doing. And Zoe's telling me, hurry up, preacher, and get done. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, help us to leave here with the thought process of what you want us to do. God, thank you for what's written in Scripture. Thank you for all the input. Lord, everyone has their opinion at the extraordinary obstacles that we face, and there are many. Understanding is just one of many. But God, we need to understand our role. And then we need to operate in our role. And then we've got to recognize, remember, that we're still sinners at best. So Lord, help us as we leave here today to do what you would have us to do. Lord, if we have claimed the name of Jesus Christ, and we're blood bought and born by his precious blood, then the Bible gives us the assurance that we can overcome the obstacles that face us. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need tonight and help us leave here, Lord, differently than we came in, a little bit more knowledgeable and understanding of the word and the will of God and operating in our role through the extraordinary obstacles that we will face as ordinary families. Thank you for being extraordinary, God. And Lord, watch over us, take care of us, illuminate us, guide us, and direct us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.